I would love for members to understand we're here to help you and we're here to assist you through these difficult situations that you're going through. If you are on our base, you won't get in trouble for that, for mm-hmm. receiving that help that you need.
Welcome back to another episode on Black Snake Bites. Today, I'm super excited about this episode because we want to bring to you all the supporting services around the base, programs, and resources that are entitled to members here in the 122nd Fort Wayne community. And just with that, our first guest, I want to introduce you to, she's been in 12 years now. She is a nurse on the civilian side. She actually started in ops as an aviation resource manager, then moved to medical to be one of our nurses, and now she's in the Equal Opportunity Office.
Hello, I'm happy to be here. My name is Captain Jenna Monhoot, and I am the Equal Opportunity Director here on base.
Can you tell us a little bit about the Equal Opportunity, or EO, program that we call it on the base?
Yeah, absolutely. So Equal Opportunity, our program, is a commander-based program. The Air Force has a zero tolerance policy for unlawful discrimination and harassment. So unlawful discrimination is any unlawful action that denies a person equal opportunity based on six protected categories. So those would be race, color, national origin, religion, sexual orientation, and sex, to include gender and pregnancy. And then harassment is any type of behavior that's unwanted or unwelcomed. And the categories for that are sexual harassment, bullying, and hazing. So we handle situations based on discrimination and harassment. We help members through those situations. Members can come to EO and file a complaint if they wish. And we also help commanders with the climate assessment. So we used to do a DEOC survey every single time that a commander would assume command, a new commander. We now change that to one annual DEOC survey every single year. So that will be from August to November every single year. So we assist with that. And then in addition to the DEOC survey, we do out and about assessments. So we go out to different shops and units and just check the climate. So we talk to members, we check the environment, and just kind of see what's going on. We can also do focus groups and interviews to assess the climate as well. So that is a broad basis of what we do as EO.
That's a busy office.
Yes.
When you do walkabouts and stuff, who do you like to attach yourself to get into those shops?
So a lot of times we try to do that with the first sergeants, mm-hmm. Just because they have a better idea of what goes on in the unit than we do. We also get the commander's approval to be able to go into the unit. But yeah, we definitely like to work with our first sergeants.
That's awesome. Could a supervisor or someone recommend if they wanted to invite you out to the shop or something?
Absolutely. Okay. So we do the out and about assessments every quarter. We aren't supposed to go back to that unit within a 6-month period,
okay,
unless requested by the commander. So as long as we have commander's approval, we're able to do that.
Okay, awesome. How do you measure, you speak of climate, that DEOC survey that now I'm kind of happy we only have to do it once a year versus, you know, commanders changing. So you speak of that climate, and how do you measure that? How do you measure a climate?
So there's different protective factors and risk factors that the DEOC survey assesses. We look at those. And then we also just focus on different areas that might be of an issue within a unit.
Okay.
And assess that way.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. So how did you get involved with this? You started in ops,
yep,
on our aircraft side, mm-hmm, and then moved into medical, which other side of the tracks kind of thing, right?
Yeah,
from the dark side to the bright side. How did you get involved with EO?
So I was a nurse in the medical group for about 2 years, and my commander at the time approached me, and there was an opening in the EO office as the EO director, because the previous EO director was retiring. So he asked if I'd have any interest. They did inform me that it was slightly broken, so it needed a little revitalizing. So I decided to take on the challenge.
Yeah, and it's busy. I've heard nothing but good since you've been in the office. So
thank
that's
you very
really
much.
Good. Since being involved, what do you think from then to now, what did you know EO to be? And now what have you learned EO actually is, especially for our members, that they could utilize this base program that's offered to us?
Absolutely. So to be completely honest, before I got asked to do this position, I didn't really know what EO was.
Yeah.
I mean, you go to basic training, you go through newcomers orientation, you start learning your job, and you get this wealth of information, and it's overwhelming.
Right.
So you hear about EO, but you don't really know what it is.
Right.
So I didn't know much previously. Now that I'm in this position, I know what a great resource it is for our members. So it's my goal to try and do more education so that way members know, like, this is available for them.
Yeah.
So
what does an education plan roll out? I know you've touched the key leaders on base. How is your education plan? Like, do you have a rollout process starting with key leaders, like the triad or commanders, chiefs, first sergeants? And then where do you go from there?
Yes, ma'am. So we do a key personnel briefing when a new commander assumes command, when someone puts on chief or first sergeant, meet with them and we discuss the EO program. We discuss what their roles and responsibilities are as key leaders and then our roles and responsibilities as the EO office. So we start there. And we're actually trying to incorporate more education. So this past year I've been trying to work really hard on implementing more education. So we've added EO to the in-processing checklist for when members come onto the base and they're new here or if it's their first duty station.
That's awesome. This type of program, it's diverse. And I'm sure you see a lot from both sides, from someone coming to you in their perspective, but also senior leaders on the base coming to you from their perspective. How can senior leaders support your program to gain knowledge of both perspectives, to have a well-rounded point of view to make a decision?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the education piece is huge. Mm-hmm. So educating our key leaders, our commanders, chiefs, first sergeants, even supervisors of what EO is and how they can enforce that within their units, I think is a huge help. Yeah. So again, just kind of beginning that education piece, which we've been lacking for so long, I think will really help members and our key leaders just see what EO is.
Right. Give them that knowledge too. And knowledge is prevention. Mm-hmm. The more you know, the more you can prevent. And absolutely, the more that's in your wheelhouse, you can glean that experience from too. And sometimes in my case, it's just knowing who's in that seat that I can ask a question to.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I like that. So in talking about EO and what options they offer for our members at the base, what is a few key takeaways that you would want someone to know or hear about EO? If they don't take anything away from this podcast, what would you want them to know?
I have two key takeaways.
Perfect.
That I'd like to touch on. And the first is you don't necessarily have to come to EO if you're experiencing discrimination or harassment in the workplace. So you can go through your chain of command, which is what we like because we want to resolve situations at the lowest level possible. So I know it's intimidating sometimes to come to EO or IG or whoever it is. I just want people to know these situations can get handled through the chain of command at the lowest level. And then the second takeaway, kind of to go off of that, is if a member does come to EO, they are protected. So I know that's a really big fear for some people. They don't want to come to EO because they feel that they're going to get in trouble. Mm-hmm. And that's not the case. So I would love for members to understand we're here to help you and we're here to assist you through these difficult situations that you're going through. If you are on our base, you won't get in trouble for that, for receiving that help that you need.
Gotcha. So, is it similar to like a restricted or unrestricted report? What does that look like if someone wants to come and talk to you?
We are mandatory reporters. Okay. EO is a mandatory reporter. However, we have limited confidentiality. So what we discuss goes through the proper channels of who needs to know.
Okay.
So it's not something that just gets discussed at random.
Right.
You know, it's only on a need-to-know basis. And members are protected from reprisal and retaliation when they come talk to us.
Okay. That is a great segue into the next question I keep hearing. What are some myths maybe you've heard that you'd like to debunk.
So I think that kind of plays off of like the key takeaway that mm-hmm. I just touched on, that I feel like people think they're going to get in trouble if they come to EO, or right. they're going to get reprimanded if they come talk to us, and that's not the case at all. If a member comes to talk to us, it is protected. They are protected from reprisal, from retaliation, and we only share the information on a need-to-know basis.
Yeah. How can they get in touch with you to come talk to you?
Oh, they can email me. They can absolutely come to our office and okay. talk to us. We're located in the Wing Building, room 135. Email even my personal number. If they reach out to someone who has my personal number, I'm happy to give that out as well.
So the EO office has flyers around the base as
well. We do, yes. So we update those annually. So we just updated them in July. And Tech Sergeant Smith, my counterpart, and I just finished putting those around in high trafficked areas
yeah.
over September drill.
Okay.
So it's updated. It should be, you know, on bulletin boards, in like the break rooms, that kind of thing. That's where they should be located. And we also have information on our SharePoint.
So the military is supporting resources for members and EO just being one of them. How do you see EO fitting into keeping the military changing the culture into a good, strong, lethal force?
If someone is experiencing discrimination or harassment in their workplace, that can take effect on them mentally,
right.
physically. It can affect their well-being. The DoD policy, we want to promote an environment that's free of social, personal, institutional barriers, so that way our members are able to do their job appropriately, right? EO fits into that. So we're here for our members. Our members can come to us and try to resolve those issues of discrimination or harassment in the workplace. So that way they are able to work to the best of their ability and focus on the mission as opposed to those issues that they're having.
I feel like too, EO handles stuff like that with the utmost discreetness as well. When you say that need to know chain of command, I know even in our positions, being privy, we don't actually talk a lot.
No.
Like unless we're setting up a walk around visit,
right?
We don't, and it's refreshing to know. Like we are a small community mm-hmm. or a family, as we like to say it, but we don't know all the ins and outs of everything. And yeah. I can really appreciate that from this perspective.
Yeah, yeah. We want to keep everything as limited as possible.
Right.
So that way members feel safe and confident when they do come here and talk to us.
I think that's a testament to this office too, that you guys can offer that service and resource and make people feel comfortable.
Thank you.
Any parting words? I think this was helpful. I know I learned a lot and good. I've been through some of your training.
I don't think so. I just want everyone to know I am readily available. Mm-hmm. So if anyone needs anything or they just want to talk at any time, I'm always here.
Okay.
So I'm happy to help.
I appreciate that so much. Ma'am, always a pleasure to interview you.
Thank you. And thanks for your time.
This is the official podcast of the 122nd Fighter Wing. Views and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of the 122nd Fighter Wing, Air National Guard, or United States government. No endorsement of any person or business is ever intended.